is ours. In every chapter, in every verse, in every line, all are blessings of the Lord divine. And we pray that you make each blessing in the word of God to be ours, even tonight, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We plead, O God, that you will send forth your word. You will give us illumination. You will give us a direction. You will give us instruction. You will give us thy wisdom. In your word, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. Lord, you will heal the sick tonight.
Amen.
You will set the captives free.
Amen.
You will deliver the oppressed.
Amen.
You will encourage the brokenhearted.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please be seated. Thank you very much. My prayer is that the Lord will make every promise in the Bible our own, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We will continue from where we left off yesterday. As we, you know, yesterday we were looking at what should be the attitude of a man with a correct heart. And we're checking Daniel as he proposed in his heart not to defile himself with the king's meat. We notice that he did not protest. He simply made a request. He requested that he should not be defiled. And we noticed that for Daniel not to enter into the bondage of Babylon on a full scale, as it were, even though he has been brought to Babylon as a captive like other people, seeing the Lord allowed them to come, just like the Lord has left us, as it were, in the midst of this Babylonish world that we are today, the system of the world, the order of the world, the value of the world, and everything that we can see around us, just like the hymn we sang maybe yesterday or day before yesterday, said, I see sight that dazzle. We see sight that dazzle, that seem to daze us. And yet, we have provisions in the word of God, as we learn from the saints of old, how they were able to navigate through life without falling into the snares of Babylon. And so we noticed that it was not only Daniel who escaped such bondage because of good character. We also saw David yesterday. Do you remember we looked at David? We checked David up in 1 Samuel chapter number 16. And we saw how the Bible presented David. We explore, in a sense, the life of David to an extent yesterday night. We saw that he was not just a skillful player of harp. He was a handsome man. He was a brave warrior. And on top of that, he was prudent in matters. He speaks well. When David speaks, his words are seasoned, as it were, with salt, with grace. Gracious words proceeds out of his mouth. He didn't have poisonous mouth. His habit or his character or his attitude was such that you hardly could fault him as he was growing as a young man. And we saw that God rewarded him for such a very beautiful, godly attitude which he possessed in his life. And you remember that we came to that understanding that several of us are in bondage of Babylon, not just because the devil really captured us, but because our mouth captured us. Because we are careless the way we talk, we are careless the way we behave, we are careless the way we carry ourselves, and that has landed many of us in trouble. And it is very, very important for us to be wary, especially of how we speak. I'm sure you remember King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was sick, and it was unto death. As a matter of fact, God sent Isaiah to him to tell him that he should put his house in order, because on that sick bed, he will not come down alive. He was going to die. And he prayed, and God heard his prayers, and he was miraculously healed. And then, after his healing, some Babylonian emissary, the king of Babylon, sent some servants of his to go and congratulate Hezekiah and just to rejoice with him on his miraculous healing, because his sickness was known internationally that he was sick. The head of the government of Israel was sick and he was about to die. And when these Babylonians, emissaries, came from Babylon, Hezekiah was very careless with them. He told them how God healed him miraculously, how God reversed the sun on his dial. And not that alone, he opened his armory. He showed these Babylonian visitors all his armor, all his military strength, his silver and his gold and all his wealth, because he was happy. He was happy about what God did for him, and he wanted to share testimony with Babylonians. And when he finished doing that kind of madness, God sent his servant to him. Go and find out these visitors in the house of Hezekiah. And the man of God came to Hezekiah and said, who are these visitors? He said, well, they came from Babylon. The king of Babylon sent them to come and visit me and congratulate me on the account of my miraculous healing. And the man of God said, so what did they see in your house? He said, everything. And the man of God said, thus saith the Lord, everything they saw in your house, they will carry to Babylon. Because it was foolish. It was foolish to expose the secret of the Almighty. So many times in the name of giving testimony, we foolishly expose what we ought not to expose. And then we pay dearly for it. So, again, we noticed yesterday that some of us might be having great challenges in our businesses. Our customers are not forthcoming again. And yet, unbelievers are having huge customers coming to them to transact business, whereas we are sleeping from morning till evening. And it is not because a demon is stationed at the entrance of our business center or office or shop or wherever we have our business located. It might be because we do not possess godly character. We most times, more often than not, we misbehave towards our customers. We don't have good human relationship. We don't know how to talk to people. We don't know how to greet people. Even when they provoke us, we don't know how to speak gracious words to disarm them, to calm their nerves and make them listen to us or see reason with us. We are quick to react. We are sharp in our tongue. We are corrosive in our thoughts. And most times, we drive God even away from us. My prayer is, again, is that as many of us who must have been trapped by our tongue because of our carelessness, may the Lord release us in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right. I am going to read the same chapter because we have to check the word of God very, very meticulously according to the grace that we have received. We stopped on verse 8 yesterday, and I will read. Of course, I read the entire chapter 1 from verse 8 yesterday, but I will just read further from verse 9, and then I would like us to just discuss few things tonight before we go home. Praise the Lord. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Verse 10, Daniel chapter 1. Excuse me, please. I didn't remember, but I thought you would remember. Anyway, Daniel chapter 1. I will start from verse 9 one more time. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel, this attitude that I am seeing in the word of God. I am not attempting to teach you anything new. I know you know about it. You have read about it times without number. And you know, for the first time this evening, I was trying to go through, you know, our Bible study just to see what the Lord is sharing with us in our various Bible studies. I've never taken time to go through them at all. Just as I sat down here, I felt, oh, let me just read the outline. Let me see what the Lord has packaged for us. And thank God for the Bible study. I'm sure it's going to meet definite needs in our lives. And it's very, very surprising that Daniel was also the focus of several of the Bible study outlines that I read in our pamphlets here. Now, I want you to remember that what Daniel and all his colleagues were giving was scholarship. And part of the scholarship was free feeding. And it was their right to go to school free of charge, to live in the hostel free of charge, and to eat what the king eats, even though a student, free of charge. And they also have access to the wine, the quality of wine that the king also drinks. And you know, the king of Babylon in those days is like you are the president of America in our time. The influence of the king of Babylon was stronger than the influence of the American president, because then Babylon rules over the entire world. Of course, America has influence all over the world, but if America talks anyhow, Nigerian government will say, sorry, this is a sovereign nation and you should respect our sovereignty. We rule ourselves by ourselves, and so, sorry, you can just keep your mouth shut. and they won't be able to do anything. Of course, they might go through the backside to, you know, harass us and sanction us and pressure us into, pressurize us into do some other things. It's all right. But then, everybody was under the grip of Nebuchadnezzar. So you can imagine in your heart the quality of food it will be eating, the quality of wine it will be drinking, and imagine that a slave, and you know that a slave is not regarded as a human being, is treated as a property. I hope you know. When a man is counting his property and is valuing them, if an auditor comes to audit his account and they are checking his assets, he brings his slaves as part of his assets. So slaves are treated as property, items, as articles, and not as human beings, because they were bought with money. So imagine a property like that. A man without hope, a man who was to live in servitude all the days of his life, a man who, even if he's killed, nobody will ask questions about it. I hope you know that Joseph was not tried before he was cast into the prison. I hope they didn't take him to court. Nobody asked questions from him because he was a slave, and nobody could query Potiphar for slamming him in prison. Why? Because it's just a property. So if he dies, if he's killed, whoever kills him will not be charged for murder. It will be as though your car had an accident and that's all, no problem. You are going. Or your table just broke. No problem. Or your breakable plates at home falls down and breaks into pieces. No problem about it. So, imagine such a person who has been living in abject poverty, who may not have what to eat in a day, who may not have where to live, suddenly was given scholarship. And is given opportunity to eat the type of food the king eats and to drink the kind of wine the king drinks. Excuse me, what do you think such a person will do? I can't hear you. He will rush at it. You know, when we were very young, I used to have a friend. He's in UK now for several years. When 1 million was 1 million. And you know, as small boys, you know, secondary school boys, we were talking. No, we had left secondary school at that time anyway. And we're saying, so if you see 1 million, what will you do? Several years when 1 million was 1 million. And this, my friend, said, if I see 1 million now, the first thing I will do is to cry. I will first weep. I don't suffer. But now, enjoyment don't come. It is natural when you see opportunity and you have lost so many in the past. Not just you are lost, you've lost so many. You didn't even have rights to opportunities in life. And now, on a platter of gold, opportunity presents itself unto you. The tendency to grab it with your two hands is there. Even when they give you a yard, you would like to take a bundle. Because you will want, number one, to recover everything you have lost in the past, and then you are gazing into the future And you are saying, even what I don't need now, let me gather it so that there will be no chance for suffering to come into my life again. I'm talking about the discipline of Daniel that delivered him from the chains of Nebuchadnezzar. I have come to know that an average Nigerian Christian is an opportunist. We take advantage of others. And you know, we have this wrong mentality. I don't know how to describe it yet. I pray the Holy Spirit will give me utterance as we check this matter. Yes, it was right for Daniel to go to school free of charge. Yes, it was right for him to eat the king's meat. Yes, it was right for him to drink the king's wine. Paul said, everything is right for me, but not everything is profitable. Everything is good. I have right to eat well. And if I see, I will eat well. But I am learning something. I don't want to say I've learned something. I am still learning it in the life of Daniel. The first time I encountered this discipline of Daniel in the Bible, I know that I have come to see something that will be called strange among men. So, permit me, for ease of reference, this man was given three opportunities. For ease of reference, I want to reduce this to three: tuition free, free feeding, and free drink. Am I correct? Plus the kind, the quality of the food and the quality of the wine. Even as a student, to be drinking wine. But Daniel was going to take one of the three opportunities that were given to him. He was going to go to school free, but he was not going to take the king's meat. He was not going to drink the king's wine. What do you call such a person? Eh? Is what? Is a disciplined man. In Nigerian context, what will you call such a person? Eh? He's a mugu. Thank you, my brother. He's a mugu. I pray tonight that God will help us. You know, I feel I should let you see Daniel beyond where we are and see how this mugu escaped the bondage of Babylon. Will you travel with me? Let's travel. Let's come to chapter 2. Are you in chapter 2? Alright. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. I wish we could read it from verse 1 and all of that. But let me ask you to start to read from verse 48. Who is reading for us? I should read from here. I wish somebody would read. Is that, what translation is this, ma? King James. All right, let me hear you, ma. Yes, ma. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made Daniel a ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men. Go ahead. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he sent Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Pause a little bit. Who did the king make the ruler over all the province of Babylon? So, what was the request of Daniel, please? I'm asking you, what was his request in verse 49? Daniel requested that the position that the king of Babylon offered him, he should give it to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now listen, who received the dream of the king? Who gave the interpretation of the dream of the king? Amen. Who should receive the reward? Amen. I want to see the discipline of Daniel. He alone should collect everything. But as the king spoke, Daniel said, "Can I make a request, Your Majesty?" And the king said, "So what is your request? What you have offered me, sir, I want you to give it to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego." The king will have said, "What was their contribution? You are the one that received this dream and the interpretation. Or were they the one that told you?" He said, "No. You are the one that God said yes. So why are you not going to accept what I've given to you? Why are you deflecting it? Are you a mugu?" Now, can you finish that verse for us? But Daniel sat where? He sat at the royal court. Abi? King James said he sat at the gate. I understand the two languages. No problem. Let us look at it from the two angles. Let me look at it literally. That Daniel sat at the gate of the palace. What do you call the person who sits at the gate? A man. I hope you remember that King Nebuchadnezzar prostrated for Daniel. That is not done in my tribe. A king does not prostrate for anybody. But he was dazed by the kind of grace that was upon Daniel. And in recognition of that, he was going to bless Daniel. He was going to promote Daniel. He was going to set him over all the province of Babylon. Daniel said, "Thank you, Dalu. But sorry, I can't take it. I'll give it to Shadrach. I'll give it to Meshach. I'll give it to Abednego. Let me return. to my post as gate man and be opening gates, even when Shadrach is coming as the governor. What will I do for him? I will open gates for him. I say, welcome, sir. Welcome, sir. The royal court is also is like the house of assembly. If they give you an option to be the president of a nation or to be a member of Anambra State of House of Assembly, which one will you take? Eh? Now, president now. Now, I am looking at the discipline of Daniel that kept him away from the bondage of Babylon. Are you still interested in traveling with me?
Yes.
All right. Can we move to chapter 3? Now, because of time, can we read from verse 8? Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans, that is, certain Babylonians, yes, they came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Yes, you have made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. Go ahead, man. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Alright? Go ahead. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Pause a little bit. Can I ask you a question? Who was set over the affairs of Babylon? Daniel. But who are now over the affairs of Babylon? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now I want you to listen to this story. It's an interesting story. And I am too sure every child of God that follows this kind of disciplined life, we save himself of many troubles of life. You know, the natural thing for you when you do contracts together with a friend is to look at how you are going to have the lion's share. Sometimes you might even be praying that the man should die so that you alone will take all the profit. It is natural for you at the roundabout to want to beat the other person to it. It's natural. It's natural that when you have worked, rewards will come to you alone. It's natural. It's natural that natural man crave to receive reward, full reward for every labor he invests. The natural man desire recognition anywhere he is. The natural man, if he's the head of a place, want to dress differently so that everybody will recognize him and give him the attention that he deserves. You know, sometime when we go out like this to preach, and those who are taking care of us, if they are serving us separately, They may put so much meat on my own food, and they will give these brothers maybe one. Because Brad Iyo is the big man. They think they are helping me. They don't know that they are destroying me. The natural man is very grabby. The natural man is not satisfied easily. Insatiable desire for money, for wealth, for reward, for fame, and for everything. And we don't know. We think we are smart. We think we deserve it, yes. I am not saying we don't. But I wish you will learn the art of meekness and discipline found in the saints of old that kept them out of trouble. Now, I want you to follow the story our sister is reading for us. Can you start the last verse you read now again? This man. No. Go back to the other verse you are reading. We didn't finish that verse before I caught you. Yes. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Yes. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, they have not regarded you. They serve not thy God. All right. Go ahead, man. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Yes. Now, I want to ask you a question. Maybe you have not thought about it before. Do you know the crime they committed? What was the crime? They refused to worship the idol that the king set. Abi? Now, let me ask you. Do you think Daniel worshiped that idol? Why was he not arrested? Because he was at the gate. You know, he was an ordinary man. Nobody will quickly recognize that he was disobeying the law of the king. You know, it is possible for you to go and vote 2 times. Peter Obi cannot do it. He can't, because they will easily detect. A golden fish cannot be hidden. So where he was sitting at the gate, when they are blowing trumpet to worship the idol, he will not. They said, useless man, gate man. What concerns are with gate man? But this big man that Nebuchadnezzar set over the affairs of Babylon, they have disregarded the man who promoted them. Excuse me. When you chop from a man's hand, you dare not disregard him, especially when you have eaten all the opportunities he presents at you. He who pays the piper dictates the tune. Now, good enough that God delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. But do you know that's how they will have died? If God never delivered them. Because they saw promotion. And they did what? And they grabbed it. They didn't ask Daniel why he refused. I said, this one Amugo, I better bring her. If you don't want, I go add them to my own. And you think you are smart. When you see a man who is always wanting to maximize every opportunity presented to him. That's a man that will walk into fire very soon, because he will shoot himself in the leg one day. He will take what he ought not to take. When you see a man who always wants to look at everything that beckons at him, he will look what he should not look at one day. I went to visit a brother in his office, and I met him almost going out. I said, "Where are you going?" He said, "They just offloaded a container there. I want to go there and see what." He said, "Let's go." I said, "I know they go." I said, "I know go." He said, "Why?" He said, "Once I don't see it, I won't desire it. It is not everything that my eyes should see. They go. I'll wait for you here." When you see a man who is not disciplined enough to draw a line, the Bible says, when you eat with a king, put knife at your throat. In other words, the food that king is giving you may be sweet, but not sweet poison. If you think you are enjoying the food he's giving you, when he gives you job to go and kill somebody, you won't be able to say no, because you don't eat in food. So when you see a man who has discipline, it does not demand for everything that belongs to his right. He prefers to lose part of his legitimate right to keep himself out of trouble tomorrow. Is that not my right? I am not doubting that. It's your right. You have right to your husband. You are married to him under heaven, under God. You have his legitimate right. The mother-in-law that has come to visit you should not tamper with your marriage. I agree. But because you said it's your right, you stood on the neck of your husband. You said, "That woman will not sleep in this house tonight." And because the man did not want trouble, sent his mother away. And the woman said, "This woman treated me like this. Now so your child will do for you also." We're not saying it is not your right. But men who are wise do not claim their right at all costs. Sometimes they behave as if they couldn't see it, so that they could keep themselves out of trouble. Attitude. Godly character that is missing in several men that have caused us a lot of trouble. I don't want to hold you down too long tonight. Will soon be praying. I want to think well and see how you have misbehaved. You know, the reason you may not know. Look, I wish. Do you think we should still travel again? Eh? All right, let's just look at a very small story. It's a very small story in the book of Judges. I want you to see what God did. I want to come to chapter 7. Are you in chapter 7? All right. Judges chapter 7. I want us to read. How do I save time now? Let me read from verse 1 just to save time. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Harod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand hath saved me. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. And the Lord said, and the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into their hand, and let all the other people go, every man unto his place. Praise the Lord. I believe you remember this story. All right. They were to go to war. And then 32,000 people came out to go. God said, no, these are too many. Scale them down for me. Gideon said, how? He said, tell them, anybody who is afraid, let him return. And 22,000 returned, leaving 10,000. God said, there are still too many. I want to prune them. I want to trim them. How? He said, don't worry. Take them to the water, to the river, and ask them to go and drink, and watch as they are drinking. Now, it's amazing that attitude, discipline in this regard, could determine who would be a good soldier at war. God was looking for men that will take, permit me, the honor and the glory of delivering Israel from the grip of the Midianites. God was not saying, take them to a shooting range and watch the way they pull the trigger. God was not saying, set a target and let those who carry arrows and bow be firing. The one that hits the target is a sharpshooter. Those are the ones I would like to use. God said, no, take them to the river. Let them drink. Don't tell them how to drink. Just watch the way they drink. And 10,000 men came to the river. Gideon said, soldiers, say, yes, it's break time. Please go and drink water. And 9,700 men said, praise God. He carried his sword, his bow, and his arrow. Said, oh, thank God. This is water. Make I drink now before we go for war. And you see, like fools, they saw water and they bowed down to water to worship water. They put their whole mouth inside the river and they were drinking because they saw opportunity to drink. 300 people just, they have their armor strapped. They just squatted and they scooped with their mouth and they drank little. They said, it's enough. We are here to fight and not to drink. God said, by these 300, I will save Israel. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. When you see a man who is an opportunist, when you see a man who always wants to behave the way the thing they do, because he's hungry, they now serve food, plenty food for table. He said, thank God. Me, we hunger don't they nap me for a long time. This one be food. It's all right. As I finish rice, now I go pounce on pounded yam. Now I go eat apple. Now I go eat granite. Now I go eat dodo. Now I go eat everything so that I can recover all the hunger of the past. Foolish man. That is how he's going to enter into the trap of the enemy. In fact, when God sees a man who is such an opportunist, God does not use him for anything serious in life. Because they say, look, there is money at home. Anytime, anything you need, just take. That's why you went there. And you are just spending money anyhow in the office. And so when promotion was coming, they said, we can't trust this man because each time we give him impress, he will finish it. He is not disciplined. Don't let us give him any position of responsibility. You know, the other day I went to South Africa and the brother who sponsored the trip, he bought the ticket for me, paid for the hotel, and when I was to leave, he gave me $900 just for pocket money. He said, this one now for your pocket. I wouldn't need to buy anything. I will sleep in an hotel. They will give me, and normally, except when I travel like this, normally, I will eat only once, at best, twice in a day. I don't need more than that. So, and the hotel will serve me breakfast. So I only need one more meal. And most times, my natural person, I may not even need it anymore. So what will I do with $900? Of course, I know I'll come home, brethren will be saying, welcome, what did you buy, my children, my wife, and all of that. So, it's all right. So I spent $400. I kept $500. So when I returned to Nigeria, I gave him his money back. He said, what is this? I said, you gave me $900. I was never taught to spend all. I've just spent the little I think I should spend. And I brought back the change. He said, no. You should have spent everything. It's your money. I gave it to you. I said, no, I was not trained like that. I am not an opportunist who will take everything that is given to him. Even if you give it to me, the discipline of the word of God says, don't take all. Several of us, we have landed ourselves in troubles because we are grabbing and grabbing and grabbing and grabbing. And you know, I'm not talking about what does not belong to you. Even that which belongs to you, you'll be careful with it. When you have money and it day plenty, yes, you can afford a big car. Why not? But if you understand this discipline, you don't even buy a car that reflects your financial status. Meekness teaches so. If you are going to be free from the fire of Babylon, you must learn what is called simplicity and the discipline of Daniel. Close your eyes. Are you in a fire right now? And it's burning you bad because you love opportunities. You just saw an opportunity with a girl because the girl just like you. You are not looking for how she's the one. He said, this one, I'm not going to allow him to go like that now. I'm free of charge. No, be me, they look for him now. And you have, because of your indiscipline, you have gone to sleep with that girl and now she's pregnant. It's threatening your marriage seriously now because you are an opportunist. Several girls have followed men that are rich because they were lavishing money on them, not knowing that they were going to use them for rituals. Opportunists. Opportunists. There is no man that does that and is a child of God that will not get his fingers burnt. Part of what made Daniel to continue and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could not continue. I thought they learned it together in the university, not to take everything that is given to them. But after a while, they left Daniel alone to eat. They veered off. They were grabbing and grabbing and grabbing and grabbing and grabbing. They did not last. I want you to pray and say, Lord, give me a disciplined heart. A heart that is disciplined. A heart that is tamed. An appetite that is trimmed. Lest I enter into the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. And if you are in one already, ask the Lord to douse that fire and give you a deliverance tonight. Would you like to call upon the Lord right now? Would you like to call upon the Lord right now? Do you pray here? If you pray, I wish you will talk to the Lord now. If you understand what troubles several people have fallen into, maybe yourself inclusive, you will call upon the Lord for definite help tonight. Why will you commit suicide in the name of opportunities? Why will you kill yourself because you have seen chance? Always claiming right. Always claiming your right. And I'm not saying you should not claim your right, but I wish you be disciplined the way you claim it. I wish you will know the boundaries you must not go beyond, lest you enter into the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. If a man is giving you money all the time and he has not told you anything, won't you say no one day and say, look, Oga, I thank you for your gift, but I know they receive a gain. Because he may be plotting something which you don't know. When he sees that you are an indisciplined person, you are an opportunist in life, that is how they are going to lead you into trouble. Will you ask the Lord to discipline your eyes? Will you ask the Lord to discipline your tongue, your appetite, your throat? If you drink water the way you are thirsty, you may run into trouble. If you eat food the way you are hungry, you may run into trouble. Why will you see water and abandon your weapons and put your whole mouth inside? What's your problem? If somebody has brought you to his house and has given you freedom, should your freedom be not defined in the context of the Bible? Should you be going to their kitchen and be taking soup by yourself? Even when they say go there, insist that you will not go. And then they will know that you are a disciplined person who cannot be bought with gifts. Some of you don't backbite before, but because somebody was always giving you gifts each time, that's when you become the friend of that person and he has taught you how to backbite now. because you can't say no. Everything that is offered you, you take. No. No. That's not the way to go. That's not the way to go. That's not the way to live as a child of God. No, 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 no. God, you must discipline our hearts. You must discipline my thought, my desire, my appetite. Discipline my hand to collect gifts. Lest I collect gifts that will push me into the fiery furnace of Nebuchadnezzar. Discipline my eyes that I do not behold everything, lest I run into trouble. Help my heart, O God, to say no. Bring this prayer point to a close. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Permit me to tell you this. It's a story, you know, this story by the moonlight, that a community who want to sacrifice elephant, and there is no way to catch the elephant because of its size and its strength. And it was tortoise. We said, don't worry, I will help you catch the elephant. So they dig hole very big to contain the elephant. And then they spread mat on it. They prepared mat. They said, that's where he's going to sit for him to be crowned. And tortoise fried akara, covered it with honey, and he was throwing it at the elephant, and he was singing that we're going to make the elephant the king. And the elephant was coming. When the elephant is saying no, and let me go again, we threw another bean cake because it's coated with honey, very sweet. He's dancing and he's following the tortoise until he got to the mat. He thought he was going to sit on the mat. He didn't know that there was a big hole underneath the man. That's how he crashed into the hole and they killed him. I want you to remember Gehazi. The question that Elisha asked from him was, is it time to collect gifts? Naaman offered him money. The man of God said, no, I don't collect. He said, take clothes. He said, no, I know they collect. Go away with it. Because for him, it was not time yet to collect. A time is coming when Naaman will bring gifts and he will collect. But for now, no, I know they collect. Gehazi say, yeah. Simugmo. He said, all right, I know what I will do. As Naaman was going, he went through the back door and he chased. I said, Alga. Now my master sent me come. He said he just received some visitors now and he needed clothes, he needed money. He said, I will give you more than what you needed. And then he sent servant to help him carry. And he went to hide it inside his own room in the boys' quarters. His master said, Gehazi, where did you go? He said, your servant went nowhere. At the house, at your service, sir. I was meditating. I was in the spirit, catching a revelation. Elisha said, but my eyes went with you. I saw when Naaman came down from his chariot. I saw when he gave you this, when he gave you that. Is it time to collect gift? Is it time to collect silver and gold? Is it time to collect olive yard and vineyards? Because of what you have done, the leprosy of Naaman will come upon you and upon your generations. The Bible says he went out a leper from the presence of Elisha because he was an opportunist. He was not disciplined. He thought he was collecting money. He didn't know he was collecting leprosy. I don't know whether he was able to spend the money or not. But for life, he remained a leper. His children also remain lepers because of his indiscipline attitude to money and to life. Would you like to say, Lord, if there be any leprosy in my life because I collected what I ought not to collect, wash me clean tonight, and Lord, train my hand not to go beyond the boundary you have set, even when the thing is looking so beautiful and so attractive. Help me to say no when it is not time for me to collect. Go ahead and talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. God is not wicked. He's showing us chapter by chapter, verse by verse, line by line, what his will is. Eh? Isn't that a Christmas gift? I'm not saying it's not Christmas gift. Have you checked? Should you collect it? Maybe that is why you are a leper now. And people are running away from you because you collected what you ought not to collect. It's my right, it's my right. Excuse me. I'm not saying it's not your right. But why won't you discipline yourself and see whether God will not fight for you? Lord, I just pray that my heart you will discipline. You will make my heart to fear each time I must collect. Let me always check with you whether it is time for me to collect. If it is time, I will collect it without fear. If it's not time, help me to say no in the name of Jesus. Bring this prayer point to a close now. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I speak tonight, every fire that has been made around you to burn you alive because of your past indiscipline, tonight I command such fire to cease in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every leprosy that came into your life, that came into your business, that came into your finance because you couldn't discipline your hand, because you couldn't discipline your thought, because you couldn't discipline your eyes, and now people are running away from you, blessings are running away from you, things that you ought to have, they are running away because you are already a leper. Money is not your friend, health is not your friend, people that should help you now, they have deserted you because of your leprosy. Tonight, I speak to that leprosy. Be clean in the name of Jesus. Amen. Every chain of Nebuchadnezzar that might have come into your life because of your indiscipline of the past, tonight they are broken in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I ask that the Lord will help your heart. From this day forward, you will only touch what God permits you to touch. Amen. You will only collect what God permits you to collect. Amen. You will only go where God allows you to go. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.